Good afternoon, friends. It's your night in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, again we enter into thy presence to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thankful for the abiding presence which is with us always, the realization of the dimension of spirit surrounds and sustains the physical world and creation, and that though we dwell within this earth in which you have placed us, that the power of spirit to reach into the heavenlies is still resting upon thy people, and at their call there is sufficient power and sufficient guidance and force. We thank thee, our Father, for the realization that it's an eternal kingdom, that this kingdom shall not be destroyed, nor shall thy plans be altered nor changed. There is no power nor force that can resist that you have ordained to do. The powers of darkness that are before us challenging thy kingdom shall soon be swept away. We thank thee, our Father, for thy declaration preserved unto us in thy word, for the Spirit which bears witness to truth and bears witness in the dividing of thy word that we might understand it, that we might know where we stand from each passing condition to the next one, knowing there is nothing new under the sun and all things have been known unto thee from the beginning. We are thankful, our Father, that when we say, Our Father which art in heaven, that we understand our relationship to thee as thy offspring and thy household in the earth, that thy kindness reaches out unto us forever because we are thy choice and thy selection. We are thy household and thy offspring, and that you have proclaimed thy desire to elevate thy sons until their glory shall be seen throughout the earth. We thank thee, our Father, for the perfection of thy plan, for the realization that the program of the endless tomorrows reaching out into all the dominions of thy creation are for the greater good of thy universe. That of all this thou shalt lose nothing, and the magnitude of thy grace shall be extolled throughout all ages. We are thankful, our Father, that in this chain of events which surrounds us, that we can walk with faith, that we can find the serenity of spirit that comes from approaching thee as our eternal Father, and knowing that thy abiding presence in the area of the consciousness continues to be a direct relationship for thy people. And so as we commit ourselves to thy hand, we pray for this great nation in these turbulent hours. We especially pray for our tall men that stand up for truth, believe in the constitutional laws that you inspired our forefathers to create. We pray, our Father, that they shall be given guidance and wisdom and strength in these trying hours. We pray that there shall be a binding of the influences that surround leadership that leads them awry. We pray that the day shall come when our courts shall resume their proper responsibility under the Constitution, and our nation again shall be free and strong to carry out its destiny. We pray for the binding of the darkness, and we pray for the judgment hour to descend upon all those forces of evil that would limit the development of the great nations of thy kingdom. It is with realization that you are placing in the hands of thy household in this hour the power to command and to set forth the powers of heaven that they might operate in earth. So as we commit ourselves into thy hands, saying, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, it is with realization that we can look forward to the end, to the victories and the accomplishments which you have assured. Saying, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Turning our thinking today concerning the transition of the kingdom, there are many things which are transpiring today in the environment of your life and your nation that are not to be considered by any means a permanent course, possibly nothing that is more satisfying, and certainly nothing that will help to establish more completely a serenity of spirit than a knowledge of God, knowledge of what God intends to do, and your relationship to these purposes. I find a great number of people from time to time are swayed by the areas of public opinion, and they are downcast when in these vehicles of public opinion it looks as though everything is going in reverse from the blueprint of biblical patterns and the things which they have been taught to understand. But I want you to know that you cannot go by what you hear as vehicles of public opinion today as a true course of events. But you can thoroughly depend on what God says He's going to do, and says, whatsoever I purpose to do, I'm going to accomplish it. And He said, what I do forever. No one's going to stay. No one's going to hinder it. No one's going to destroy it. More than that, He's determined to accomplish certain things through His own household and through His kingdom, which He's establishing in the earth. You can be sure that what He's planned to do, He's going to accomplish. The evidences of God's ability to do this abides with us throughout the testimony of ages and time. Therefore, when we listen to the press today, or to the newspaper declarations, or to the television broadcast, you would think that the course which our nation is now set upon
is going to be brought to consummation, and the process is the prophecy. The background of your great heritage and your racial self-respect is to be swept away, and you're to be absorbed in a great mass of a new world order, which they claim they are developing. Now, this great nation is an example of God's new order in the days of its founding concept, and we were known as Novus Ordo Seculorum, the new order of the ages. And that order is not going to be altered, and that order is not going to be changed by the powers which today are seeking to overthrow the program of God's kingdom. Never has there been a greater satanic design demonstrated, nor has its influence been made more manifest among non-white and non-Christian peoples than at the present time. The desire is the absorption of God's household, the mongrelization of a divinely instituted race, and the wiping out of their leadership and their capacities to introduce the kingdom of God on the earth. Obviously, this is the master design of Lucifer. If there is any one thing this fallen archangel with a background of antiquity and history desires today, it's to continue to control the earth. If there's anything which he desires, it's to see any power which challenges his superstition and his program of darkness and evil in the earth. Anything which challenges that, he wants to see it swept away. And so when we refer to the conditions through which we pass, we tell you that a master plan, a Machiavellian plan of tremendous impact and size, has been launched by Luciferian forces to wipe out the strength and the growth of the kingdom of God on the earth. It's designed to do this. This they understand. They discuss it when they meet in their private caucuses, and all the facets of satanic purpose are being poured out today to accomplish this objective. It is well understood, therefore, that the master plan of Lucifer is the absorption of the race. He's willing to take us several generations to do this, but in face of the growing technological skills and the awareness of the fact that time belts are closing in, and with a certain cunning understanding that still remains in the mind of the fallen archangel, he wishes to accomplish and wipe out any vestige of the kingdom before added strength is catalyzed with that of the children of God on the earth and his power is broken forever. So therefore, he knows the scripture says that his time is short, and so he is working with great evil. Lucifer operates with a cunning and subtlety. It's not always the coarse and brass impact that we see sometimes from the bearded Bolshevik or we watch operating out of the witch doctor's own satanic rites. At times he approaches in the most suave manner and has found ways to sow into the very heart of institutions that are very vital to your culture and civilization the spokesmen of his concept. And I can challenge this afternoon that deep inside many of the great denominations of Christendom, as well as in the educational systems of our free order, there has been a penetration of those servants of Lucifer and of those forces of darkness which are selling a story, while attempting in selling this suave strategy of the overthrow of your way of life to talk about it as expansion, development, and progress, and to make it look as though it is a vital interest in the welfare of all peoples, though no Luciferian force has really ever been interested in the welfare of anything but its possession of power. Thus it is today we find the President of the United States is captivated at this moment by a satanic idea, and it will not work. He and those that have surrounded him have been influenced and guided by a concept that a total integration of our society is essential, and that this is something that their new frontier is going to carry out. They more than this believe that eventually that there must be a complete and total integration that shall make one world a virtually integrated society and eventually a intermixed society, for the very textbooks and the authors which wrote these textbooks, which they are quoting, and which the Supreme Court under a twisted domination concept has been quoting, are actually advocating in those documents the intermarriage and absorption and the flowing of all blood together. Now, in this instance, it wasn't too long ago that President Eisenhower was visiting in India, and they quoted there extensively then his position that eventually he anticipated there was going to be no race problem in America or anywhere as the bloods all flowed together and it emerged one people. All of these situations are met with acclaim by the world order. They not only have created the philosophy and the doctrine, but they have sold this as a great utopian world brotherhood program. And in this instance would flow everything together as one great common society. And the head of that society, whether you realize it or not, would be none other than Lucifer himself, because this is his master plan. It's in direct violation to every single instruction of the Most High God in Old or New Testament. Now, even though there are those who might think that this would be a way of least resistance, a popular program, that as it flowed together would bring about contemporary security for them during their periods of time. No student of the scriptures and of the purposes of God or of the patterns of history could, even for the temporary security of being obscure and not seen during this turmoil, go along with that if he wanted to remain intellectually honest and wanted to be true to the spiritual background of his calling. Because it is not in keeping with the purpose of God. It is diametrically opposed to the program of God's kingdom and works a great catastrophe and disaster to both the program of God's kingdom and to your race and your inheritance. Therefore, that which is out of adjustment with the pattern of God is also out of adjustment with your welfare and the welfare of everybody upon the face of the earth. Because that which God hath put together and that which he hath ordained is not only been made well, but what he hath planned for the universe is far beyond anything that Lucifer can interject. The design today does not work for the welfare or good of the world. It works for catastrophe and great evil. Never have we witnessed a force of resistance and revolution as is sweeping the world. We've told you over the past years throughout the various auditoriums and assemblies that we were moving into a great period of upheaval, that it was going to be a point in which all the powers of darkness would focus the very many facets of their design to change and wipe out the kingdom. They're continually talking about the fact that there's a transition in our time, that it's a normal and natural evolution of events, that we must therefore accept it and not resist it. But this, my friends, is not the transition that's going to take place in the kingdom, which is biblical. It is biblical that they will attempt to destroy the kingdom, but it is biblical that they shall be defeated, and that a mighty force and power shall move through you and through your race as God lifts up leadership and adds energies and forces which are yours to command. And this condition is going to be reversed, and it is not going to be carried out to the catastrophe and disaster which they have designed. I think it's quite obvious that we have watched the fulfillment of many areas of biblical prophecy. We have watched out of your race the formation of nations, and we have watched these nations find their place in the Western civilization and culture of the Western world. We have watched this thing throughout the last few centuries reach almost an apex of assistance and administrative power. Deep into the hearts of the continent of Africa, which had been smoldering under the dark struggles of superstition and witchcraft throughout the ages, and you may look back over the history of Africa this afternoon and you know that for the last 6,000 years or more of its history, that witchcraft and darkness has covered the continent. And only areas such as in Egypt or in spots where there were outstanding impacts of civilization and culture, both from your race and from patterns of great antiquity, was there anything but superstition and darkness and savagery and cannibalism and beastcraft at best. Now we have noted that in the last few centuries, as the white man matured to the pattern of destiny and moved into these areas, he started the program of missionary activity, of developing of its resources, of seeking to create a new pattern of life in the place of savagery. He introduced industry and he introduced sanitation. He introduced education, but basically behind it, he was seeking to tell these witch doctor controlled peoples that their tribal gods and their satanic powers that they worship were error. He sought to give unto him the impression and the knowledge of one true and living God, to replace his era with monotheism, and to do as far as it was possible within his scope to influence them in an area constructive. Now, the history of missions is in itself a rather significant study. There has been, and this is a part of the area of impact in the warfare against truth, there has been an infiltration and did exist in one inside the church. It affected and contemned its doctrines to some degree in the first few centuries of church history and affected not only Rome, but all the Protestant churches as well. It gave somewhat a obscuring impact to their theology because they did not fully perceive that there were some things they could not do. There has been a continual task upon the part of the church to go out and convert all of the peoples of the world, and then as they included them inside the impact of the message of the true God and the true and living God, they were attempting to create an ideological or spiritual brotherhood while not, of course, accepting a physical bond between these people. Now, actually, had they been fully conversant with the truths of the Most High God, they would have never made the attempt to have cemented a concept of brotherhood which was not existent in any of the patterns of Thus Saith the Lord, but they would have sought to have instructed these peoples as they did, to this extent, that this was the one true God, author and creator, who they were to serve and worship. and whose service and whose worship was required by him, and wherefore, if they did turn unto him, there would be blessings poured out upon their lands. And if they took the guidance and advice of God's household, they would have moved into progress and advancement, and wherever advancement was made, it was made because of the impact of the household of God upon them. We have been blessed and we have been inspired as a race, and the vision given to the technological geniuses that God developed in our society is because of who we are and because of what we are, even when some people didn't know who they were. You know, the most important thing you can know this afternoon is who you are. The Bible teaches that you, the Adamic race, are the offspring of the Most High God. You're spiritual children, born in the heavens, transplanted in the earth through the Adamic race, which is the issue of God. There is no question that because you are of this household, and all the New Testament and the revelations which God bestowed on apostles like Paul or on ancient men like Enoch confirm the completion of this importance of the family of God in His purpose. More than this, this universe belongs to your Father, and this earth belongs to Him. And the peoples that are on it, though some of them have been transplanted from places where they should have stayed, still it belongs to Him. And He has given unto your race the earth. And He said, I've given unto you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I want you to know this. This is your earth. This is your inheritance. This is yours to mold and yours to shape according to the plan of the Father. And my friends, it is not the purpose of God that it's to be ruled over by Asiatics or ruled over by Negroes, or it is to be ruled over by any people, but the will and the purpose and the sovereignty of the Most High God. Yes, there shall come out of such a administration greater benefit for the earth than they've ever had before. They may not like it. They have been under Luciferian complexes. They're being stirred today to desire to rule, and even if that rule is the tribal rule of barbaric chieftains. But remember this, that the scriptures clearly tell us that the heathen raids, the second psalm tells us, and these pagans and their rulers are imagining a vain thing. They are crying out against civilization and culture while saying that they do not get the benefits of it and are being deprived of it. Now, you never deprived Africa of anything except the ability to continue to be cannibals and savages and to work against the best interests of all other peoples in Africa. The fact remains that you have bestowed upon them all of the culture and advancement they have had through millenniums. But the fact remains that they do not want the restraint. They don't like the law that says they can't eat one another. They don't like the law that says that they can't go out and steal and pillage at will. There where the white man has gone and where his civilization has gone, there has gone law. Yes, when you deal with spear-carrying savages, when you deal with deadly blowguns, you've got to put this kind of power down. And you have put this power down wheresoever you have established colonialism. You went out and you backed up your strength with an army to enforce the law. But I don't think I'd like to live in the jungle called Los Angeles without this army we call the police department nowadays either, because it keeps the law. These situations are not, my friends, suppression. Nobody considers themselves under bondage because there's a police department. They don't feel that the police department's there to hinder them at all. It's there to protect them from those that would violate the law. Under this instance, therefore, we have had as a race of people, in the instances of the development of the earth, of carrying out our destiny, which destiny God bestowed on us, and this is His universe, that we were to occupy, colonize, develop, and rule. And in this instance, we have watched the civilization's impact and the patterns of destiny move. We have had to fight where there was attempts to destroy and attempts to maim and kill, and where violence was rampant. When the white man came in, he ruled with firmness and with peace. Now, the attempt upon the part of Luciferian forces is to upset all areas of administration that gives recognition to the Most High God, and with firmness limits the expansion of satanic design. Thus it is, it has been a satanic design to overthrow the administration of the white man. He had to build semantics for this. He had to sow the representatives of his revolution into colleges and schools and into areas where people would listen to lectures upon subjects like this. And his pseudo-intellectuals have been sent to clubs and into forums where people think they're settling all the world's problems. The world's problems are set where your colonial developers and where your military leaders have gone out to push the frontiers of liberty. They're not settled, my friends, in forums where a group of people can be brainwashed by a pseudo-intellectual that knows nothing about it. The instance of these patterns, they heard how colonialism was a terrible repression against liberty and freedom. And there comes a time when all people have to overthrow colonialism, and then comes some speaker who talks about the fact that we started out with colonies and we had to overthrow the colonial status to become a nation. So also must Africa, must Asia, and the ends of the earth. I read such a speech as was delivered to a women's club a short time ago about how they had to follow our pattern. Well, there's all the difference in the world between the economic and political argument between white men and between peoples of the kingdom of the Most High. There's all the difference in the world between their assuming administration in their own areas with the capacity to do that which they've established, and the dark revolution that hasn't become smart enough yet to feed itself. There's a vast difference between the levels of society and the levels of creation and the levels of these peoples as races. Besides that, you don't even have to give an explanation. You are the sons of the Most High God. This is your Father's world. The best thing it's ever witnessed has been the power of His kingdom. Besides, your Father said, I'm sitting back right now and looking down at the Martin Luther Kings and the Baldwins and the Kennedys, and I'm looking down at the Russian conspiracy, and I'm holding them in derision because they imagine a vain thing. They say, we're going to break the bands of law. We're going to break the links and the chains that suppress us from carrying out our own kind of pagan life. We're not going to accept civilization. We're not going to accept culture. We're not going to worship that God. We're going to worship another one. I want you to know this afternoon that every one of them is going to be right down on his knees. And before this is over, he's going to acknowledge the Lord thy God. He's going to acknowledge that thy Father hath loved thee. Before that you are finished with your responsibility, you're going to set these people free from their pagan design. Last week, while we were talking to you, a cannibal feast of greater proportions that has been held in Kenya Colony for many years took place. They had, in a few days before, elected Burning Spear Kenyatta as the head of Kenya Colony and dismissed the efficiency of the British administration in Kenya Colony, which had been plagued by this outlaw's murderous attacks throughout the years. Now elected as the head of the government, was there going to be peace? No. There was over 400 white people killed last Sunday, and over half of them were eaten. The report said, as they came from Africa, they will not have to bury them. This, my friends, is progress as they approach the great new frontier of African nations and nationhood. Let me point out to you that there is something rather significant in this situation. That not only did this happen, but last week in Ethiopia, African nations consummated a conference, final planning, though the major sessions of this conference ended 3 weeks ago. This conference involved all of Africa. It involved all but the white nations of Africa. The white nations, like South Africa, was not permitted in the assembly. Rhodesia was not permitted. Any area that had not yet been taken over by natives through the United Nations and through the influences of New Frontier programs. Now, Ethiopia was there, of course, and all of the countries such as Ghana and the Congo. And in this, they set up a program for driving the white man out of Africa. Now, they were able to pull together quite a few million dollars. And they started with the purchase of arms, and this week's newspaper, Los Angeles Times today, will tell you that they have now millions of dollars. You know where they got it? It's a part of the $1.5 billion that you gave for development of African nations, and they have pooled up the money. Some of it the Jews have taken from them as they have been selling them areas of administration. And then they have been calling out the gold out of your treasury for it, but the rest of it is being converted now into an arms chest for immediate use. They have been buying and have been receiving delivery also in cases of these weapons that have been brought in, and now aircraft, Russian MiGs and equipment is being sold directly to African nations who plan within 90 days a full-scale military assault on the white man in South Africa, and they tell you today in today's paper that the money which they pledged at this conference in Ethiopia, which Mr. Kennedy thought was a wonderful area of progress among the nations of Africa, and now the African nations are going on a white war vendetta. And they intend to drive the white man out of Africa. They cite that they're going to destroy both South Africa and Rhodesia, white leadership. Burning Spear Kenyatta says the white man had better go now, or we're going to liquidate him and sink his blood into the sands of Africa. So instead of all that missionary activity has gone away, all this program of culture and civilization has been swept away. You're in the time of Jacob's trouble. The time of Jacob's trouble was to come at the end of an age. The nations of God's kingdom were to rise to great nations, to move and to be identified throughout the nations. You can well be identified today. The great Christian nations of the world are known. Identified as the household of God, as the great tribes of the house of Abraham, and their marked relationship to the patterns of prophecy have been fulfilled. You've come to the end of the age. You've come to an area where there would be a great time of trouble inside the society that you're in. There has been a falling away first among the inside institutions of the church, and there has been an attack upon you politically and socially. The great standards of liberty and freedom that you demanded as a nation when you framed your constitution, the concepts of not being tampered with by federalism and the things that involved in that have dwindled in your time. You have watched people today moving into the acceptance of areas of socialism and government control from the cradle to the grave, and in this instance you watch the surrender of a whole lot of liberties and rights that belong to the people as an acquiescence. Some of it is not being totally finished. Now, these things have happened in your time. This descent from a standard of greatness and this area of development that you saw. Why, if you go back 50 years, you discover the white race was not only riding high on the earth, but its missionary activity and its civilization forces were moving out. It was not until you permitted Lucifer to continue to set you against one another, warring against yourselves. Remember, the program of Lucifer and his Satan's own sons was to set Christian nation to fighting Christian nation, till it not only weakened them, but also the great moral impact of such struggle, plus the fact that the sons of Lucifer have dominated every area of corruption, from the dope industry to every attempt to sell into your nation violations of the divine law for corruption. They were to move in and seek to overthrow your economy and gain control of that economy. And there is no doubt that they have gained control of economy and Christian nation after Christian nation. And it's time for Christian nations to consummate the transition and take back again the blueprint of God as it economically relates to their nation. In an expert testimony before the Senate Finance Committee a week ago, Curtis Dahl, who's the son-in-law of Franklin Delano Roosevelt with lots of experience inside government agencies, told that Finance Committee that at the expense of much blood and tears, that one of the most evil Machiavellian forces on the face of the earth was the Jewish Zionist program, whose economic control had reached into Christian nations and set them at war and was seeking to destroy the white race and was boring from underneath to destroy Christianity even inside of this great Christian nation. And after he testified before the Senate committee as an expert and represented several million Americans whose movements and groups he represented, this man, long known as an expert on these matters, was thanked by Senator Curtis as well in the Senate for his testimony. And all the enemy all over and all their papers are crying out against this member of the Roosevelt family because he told something they never wanted to get back in print again or in the congressional record. Now, the facts remain that even the Los Angeles Times reprinted what he said, and that also helps to spread what he said. Made me think of Fulton Lewis Jr. the other day when he attacked everybody that opposed Goldwater. And so he told in his column what everybody said about Goldwater. And I don't know a better way to get across America all the things Goldwater said and did. Because people should know what they're doing if they're going to back a man like that, because after all, he introduced a bill for that mental health program, which would have ended up as a mental prison. He belonged to the NAACP and financed the program to desegregate Arizona schools. And there's dozens of things which were brought out in Mr. Lewis's article that never would have gotten into the press if he hadn't said this is what they're saying and this is what he admits. But he says it's a terrible thing. You shouldn't pay attention to these things. You just vote for him anyhow. See? Well, we've just voted for too many people anyhow. Every secret thing in this day is going to be made known. And if people do not want to be reviewed before the society, then just keep out of politics. More than that, it's a good thing that every secret thing be made known. Because we have been the victims too long for the penetration of our society by the powers of darkness. Now, in this instance, the design, therefore, is the complete integration of a one-world government. And this, my friends, can be a catastrophe even if you're a pope and come out for this. for this was one of the greatest errors of the Pope's entire ministry, was when he called on the nations 3 weeks ago to embrace a one-world government, strengthen United Nations, and cross all barriers of race and religion, anticipating that a world state like this would be consummated and it would also be a free state to move in. Well, it would not be. It would be catastrophe. The Bible is clearly outlined. This is a part of the strategy of the enemy. This is the program of Antichrist and a world order in opposition to the program of God's kingdom. Now, we know some people do not like the concept or idea of opposing the United Nations, but this pulpit will oppose the program of the Antichrist as long as this church functions. I just want to say, without reviewing the bloodletting, that if you were to look past the last 2 years of the Kennedy administration and look at the progress of the new frontier as that sweeps across the world, and what do you see? You see law and order breaks down in the Congo, bloodshed, murder, massacre, and even death to the Negro. You see it suddenly as it withdraws its, as its influence castigates colonial leadership, and you see the troubles in Angola, murder and bloodshed of the most vicious and inhuman type, as black savages led by red influences cause the murder rampage and destroy progress and culture in Angola. You see what's happened in Kenya Colony as, with added strength, the forces of darkness have moved into full sway. You look inside of the retreat in India to discover that you haven't watched progress there. There has been nothing but the support almost completely by your nation of the economy of India since the British were driven out under this. And then they in turn seize the colonial possessions of Portugal, and they do it with a bloody assault. And at the same time, none of the world order says anything about it because it was the white man that was being pushed back. Now, we look at every corner of the world, and you see nothing but upheaval, catastrophe, and disorder. So far, therefore, it has never produced peace. We see that under United Nations administration and rule, there's been no peace in Asia. There's been no peace in any part of it. We have watched the continued deterioration of civilization throughout all the Asiatic areas. And this includes the whole Malay area, where today you are still being asked to support Sukarno, and Sukarno is keeping the Malay Association from ever being formed and is doing his best to establish a red communist Indonesian empire there. You have destroyed much of your strength in Laos. You have not made proper beachheads in the areas that you could have because you tried to coexist with the communists. Had a firm white man's solidarity been lifted up, had the program of the kingdom been maintained, the French would still be in Dien Bien Phu, and French Indochina would still be in the hands of France, and Christian civilization would have thrown a bar across communist expanse throughout the world. All right. We can see all these areas in which the white man has been talked into, and then leadership has led him in the area of retreat from the civilizing influences which he has. There was nothing any better for the areas of the Asiatic countries than the sea, than the administration of the Dutch. And the driving of the Dutch out of Guyana has now turned that area into violent warfare. In fact, last week, tribe after tribe were in savage warfare. And the instance of the administration is no longer under the peoples of Holland, but it's been turned over to Indonesia, which in turn is more interested in fighting the white world and suppressing any colonial power which they may possess in Asia. And they're flying with MiGs and consulting with the Red Chinese and with Moscow. So we catch a retreat. What are we setting the world stage for? The world stage is being set for a colossal Armageddon. And this struggle is a worldwide struggle, and it's coming at great speed. Inside these United States, we're watching the most violent, most left-wing minds, some of them under the cloaks of a ministry, which is but a pagan concept, even in its operation, turn loose. You hear nothing but a press build up about the great leadership of Martin Luther King. He's the smartest witch doctor of them all. Let's agree to this as far as they're concerned. But this cloak of non-resistance is but a screen. And he said, we are now ready for the next step, if we don't get what we want, violence. We think of the words of Baldwin, this funny, scrawny-looking Negro author that's been traveling around, exciting people all over the country. Talked about how he went into a New Jersey restaurant last week, or a few weeks ago. And he demanded immediate service, and the waitress went on about her business because she had a lot of people to serve. And he demanded service right now, and so she wouldn't serve him at all. He said, I wanted to get my hands around her neck and crush and hear it snap. This is what it says, right? He puts his articles and stories in Life magazine and writes it up in major newspapers, and I've got it here in a public bulletin. So then he said, I turned and I seized a pitcher, and I hurled this pitcher of water through a plate glass mirror just to show them my anger. This is the savage that stirred up savages by the thousand for violence in America. So in this instance, they want to drive the white man out of Africa because they don't want him there. But here they want to integrate the white man because they say they want to rule him here and absorb him. In other words, the whole program isn't just a program of wanting to be separate or to have their own authority or to possess the area of private administration. What they want is to crush out the white man. And they have been fed with a propaganda which is based on numerical value that the white man's only 1/6 of the world. They're not going to accept his intellectual superiority. They're not going to accept his civilization, his culture, but the thing they most fight is the spiritual influences of guidance and its destiny of administration. And then when you pick up your newspaper and it tells you that the government's implementing it, the Chamber of Commerce capitulated yesterday. They said we're going to see that there will be no discrimination in any area of hiring anywhere throughout the areas we influence. All the mayors were summoned together to a fancy dinner over in Hawaiian Island. And JFK went over to Hawaiian Islands yesterday where he spoke to all the mayors and then smoothly calmed them all in to promising to destroy integration or segregation in all their communities. Now you say, well, we're whipped. The Chamber of Commerce gives in, the mayors give in, and now we're told the government's going to enforce it. Now I'm going to tell you something. You better listen to thus saith the Lord. You just better get new mayors. And never mind this Chamber of Commerce. We can get something new here. Justice Harlan declared the truth that is unconstitutional. Says positively, we can point out to you the points, the positions. It's totally unconstitutional to tell a man who he has to hire, what he's got to do on his own property, in his own business. Just because they have decreed it means nothing. We must destroy this kind of evil in America. Hatred? Not at all. I could drive by a Negro community and I would like to see it with nice houses. And I don't care how fine their homes are. And if they had a swimming pool in every front yard, that's perfectly all right with me. And I want them to have everything they have intelligence and initiative enough to create and earn. But the program of God's kingdom does not advocate that it is the responsibility of a Christian to support people and supply them with all the things that their initiative and God's blessing bestows upon them while they do nothing for it. If they desire more and they desire to have more than they now have, then all they've got to do is increase their production and increase their services. Someone said, well, but suppose they don't want to hire them. The only reason they are not hired is because of areas of their conduct and behavior. I point out to you at the present moment that this threat of violence to the city of Los Angeles is one of the most fantastic things I've ever heard of. In the first place, if they don't get their way, then there's going to be bloodshed, they tell us, and violence. Why does the city of Los Angeles pay any attention to them anyhow? Why pay any attention to them? The reason for this is that we ask that no comments come from the audience because they go on the tape all over the country. Now, it's quite frank that as these areas of trouble are being set up and we are being threatened, we are being coerced and blackmailed into surrendering privileges that belong to all peoples and especially as it belongs to the white majority. We have a hard problem now to have the proper services that we should get out of some of the institutions of our nation because of a fallacious policy of seeing how many Negroes they can pack in. Anyone who works at the post office department knows that every white man in there is doing 10 white men's jobs and it's almost more than he can take because they've hired so many inefficient Negroes and he has to see the job gets done and if they don't do it, the white man has to do it. And this is true in every area of government. When Look magazine told about the terrible situations in Washington, D.C. last week, it came out to say the reason why we have this catastrophe is because of the Negro increase in population and their utter antisocial attitude. I want you to think about this afternoon, because this is what you're in as a Christian civilization. This is what you're challenged with. They cite that the reason why the gangs of Negro youth are on the rampage in Washington is because they have been moved into a city in which they are now crowded, and since the whites are moving out, it's overwhelmingly Negro, so that makes it a Negro ghetto, and that makes them socially suppressed, and so the outlet for the fact that they have to live with Negroes is crime and violence. Now, who is more anti-Negro than a Negro that doesn't want to live with Negroes? And where should one find more substantiation for God's law in preserving a white society and not wanting them with your children and integrated into your schools than the evidence that where they become the majority, crime and violence increases until it's unprecedented? Now, the Word of God said they are not to dwell with you. They are not to live in your cities. Our forefathers had intelligence enough to voluntarily segregate themselves. And whether you lived in Connecticut or in Massachusetts or in any of the New England states, which would be called the North, you didn't find Negroes living interspaced in the blocks of white people. They still, if there were any Negroes, the community lived on their side of town. Someone said, well, of course, they never had anything, and therefore this kept them in ghettos. Well, they used Jews to front for them in one of the most treacherous pieces of real estate operation in California, and they moved in on Orange Grove Avenue and Washington Street and Lincoln over in Pasadena, and they moved into nice residential districts. And you can drive through there today and tell they're nigger districts. Because whereas some of them with wealth have been capable of hiring somebody to keep up their places, still there is something that has happened. A general atmosphere of degeneration and deterioration has moved over those ends of the city. More than that, it's no longer safe in those areas of the city for a woman on the streets at night. Now, the design of these organizations is to block break every street and every block in Pasadena. They are seeking to use fronts to buy houses, to put them in every block in Pasadena. Now, there was no great anti-Negro feeling. Nobody paid any attention to it until it occurred. But you go down the blocks of Pasadena today where they don't have them and see whether those people want them to move in. They are attempting in measure to pass more and more bills. But some of these bills are not constitutional in their passing. And I'm not going to praise senators, irrespective of whether they've been right on one thing, that support the kind of transactions that some of these men are supporting. Every once in a while I look at a patriotic magazine that's praising this senator and says he's a great American. Well, he's not a great American if he doesn't serve America constitutionally. Senator Dodd, for instance, and Dodd and Cooper introduced Senate Bill 1622. And this makes a complete economic dictatorship out of the United States in the hands of the Attorney General. Somebody talks about Senator Dodd. I think Senator Dodd should never be sent back to office in Washington, D.C. Why, this bill would be enacted in the Senate and the House of Representatives that any person engaged in any business affecting any transaction that denied to any person or withholds services or withhold from him lodging or anything that he has, equal treatment in facilities or any service or accommodation which he has control over on the basis of the ground of his race, his religion, his color, his national origin. You'd have to let the Ruskies in with all their socialism and communism if they wanted to. I walk down the street and businessmen start to talk to me, and all over our community in Antelope Valley, every businessman is suddenly saying, you were right, you've been right all along, we see now what these people want, we're ready to fight. Prophecy is vindicating itself. They see a danger to their civilization, and they see now a danger to the security of their families and to their well-being. When they see the situation and see what the design is, they said, we didn't believe this thing could happen in the United States. Now, all the mealy-mouthed, ecclesiastical falderaw that's being put out today about the fact that God wants these people absorbed in their marriage, he wants them taken into one brotherhood, and they're all the same, and spiritual and supernatural changes make them the same. They never change a Negro from anything but a Negro, no matter what you put him through. These are things that you must recognize. You can make one from following the devil, one who will serve the Most High God according to his soulish capacity. But you're not going to make of him an equal to the household of the Most High God or to the children of the covenant. Now, in this instance, God said this trouble was going to come, called it the time of Jacob's trouble. Said this will be the same time that they're seeking to overthrow you from the outside as well as the inside, and they're stirring up all of these less smart people to do their work for them. So in this instance, this is a time when you need assistance, and God said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon my sons and my daughters, my young men and my old men. I'm going to pour out spiritual energy and power on you. What's this going to do? Spiritual power is going to take people out of their apathy. Spiritual power is going to charge people until they become determined and positive, until they synchronize their attitudes with that of God, even to righteous anger and indignation, until that anger mounts as a force. And there's not going to be any Canaanites left in the house of God. They're going to flee before the determination of awakened people that they thought were apathetic and a pushover. Now this is coming. More than this, God said, I'm going to raise up sensible men, and I'm going to raise up sensible shepherds. I'm going to have shepherds speaking throughout the house of Israel that are going to stir up my people. I'm going to raise up leaders that are going to lead these people. And let me tell you this, the kingdom of God has not changed. In these final hours of conflict, there's going to be military strength as well as spiritual strength awakening the people. He said, you're going to beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. You're going to stand off a northern army. And you're going to have a great infiltration on the inside, even as the vision was given George Washington. But one of the most significant things is that you have been waiting for something. The Apostle Paul knew that you had lost the power that all the prophets understood and was referred and talked to. You had lost the aura and power and light and glory of immortality. You lost a perfect energy balance that would have retained every atom of the body in perfect health, every cell of it. Therefore, you had lost all of this because of a violation of divine law. To commingle with that which did not have the spirit and had no capacity of it was a mutation. To have this violation of law with a fallen archangel known as the devil was to bring death upon your race. Didn't die in that 24-hour period, but in that very era they died. Death descended on them. Apostle Paul said, as death came by one man, so also life comes by another. And as the first Adam lost for us immortality, the second Adam restores it to us. So the Apostle Paul says, I don't want to die. I just want to put on this enveloping glory out of the heavens. I want to put back on my immortality. Now he says, I'm not worried about what would happen to me. Absence from this body would be present with the Lord. This soul can dwell in the celestial body, so I have a dwelling place. I have a house, just like this physical house, that's permanent in the dimension of spirit, which is a light body. But he said, I want to see the envelopment of this illumination of glory around this physical body until these are synchronized together. I want to live forever. The Apostle Paul said, this is what I wait for. But in his writings, he said, the whole creation is in turmoil and trouble, and it's waiting for the sons and daughters of God to start exerting themselves with power. They don't know even what they're vibrating about. It says, they as well as we are waiting for what? The Apostle Paul says here in this 8th chapter of the book of Romans, they're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And they in turn are waiting for the redemption to wither the body. And the Most High God tells you that simultaneously with all these areas of problem and trouble, the intensity of cognition and spiritual influence reaching deep into the minds of those that hear and upon a race as it's catalyzed force is going to stimulate their thinking, and it's going to catalyze energies that are going to charge their beings, and the glory is going to come out from within. And you're told here in the 60th chapter of Isaiah that thy light rise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon thee. We mentioned this to you last Sunday. We turn over to the book of Isaiah, and we read, and the glory of Yahweh shall be thy reward, and thou shalt call, and Yahweh shall answer, and he shall say, here I am. And in this instance, he's going to take away every yoke that they've attempted to put on you. He's going to assist you in the most glorious age of light and power your civilization has ever known. Now, this is my covenant, saith Yahweh. Then Daniel tells you that what it's going to be like. He said, for I'm going to see that the saints of the Most High are going to take the kingdom, and they're going to possess the kingdom forever and ever. He said, I saw this in the vision of the night. And they saw the embodiment of the fullness of God receiving the authority and power in its humanity. And there was given unto the embodiment of this divine power, dominion and glory in a kingdom. And the peoples and the nations and the languages shall serve him with an everlasting dominion. And it shall not pass away, and the kingdom shall not be destroyed. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of that kingdom under the whole of heaven shall be given unto the people and the descendants of the saints, the breathing offspring of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and who shall have dominion until all dominions shall serve and obey you. Now this is us, saith the Lord. This is the book of Daniel. This is the prophecies concerning this climactic hour, an hour that's so fraught with intensity that Michael the Archangel brings additional forces to countermand the powers of Lucifer's insidious forces. But you're the household of the Most High. You're the ones to which God said, these are my sons. Hear ye them. These are my sons. And all the nations of the world shall know that you are my sons and my daughters, and I have loved you. And this is a declaration upon the part of the Most High. The Apostle Paul also knew that there was involved in this destiny that he talked about, in which the manifestation of the sons of God was going to take place, a great pattern of God's foreknowledge. For every one of you he did foreknow in the heavens, and he did predestinate that you are going to conform to the image of the Son with power in the earth. And he said, therefore, those he did predestinate he called, and those he called he justified, and those he justified he hath glorified. Who then shall say, what can they say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against? Then the Apostle Paul tells you in this transition that takes place in the kingdom, that where the Spirit of the Lord is a spirit of liberty. You can't crush it. You can't put it down. And we all, as though we were looking in a looking glass, shall be changed into the image of the glory of God, reflecting a radiance, changed from glory into glory, until we have the same emanations of glory manifested by God Himself. But when that's going to happen? That's going to happen before this cycle of events is over. If you want to know what will break one of these black lines, you let the glory of God come down on your race and watch him break. Listen. Someone said, this is wishful thinking. You know what we have a great problem today? We have a lot of religion, and the Apostle Paul over here in Timothy in the third chapter, in the fifth verse, says it has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. There is no greater power. There is no greater power. Do you realize that the power now that belongs in the hands of the kingdom can not only bind the darkness, but it can call for the judgment? And you know God's going to start picking out all the obstacles and take them out of your way. One of these days there's going to be a great mass exodus of the areas of your opposition, and His holy angels are going to gather out every plant that was not planted by the Father and going to put it back where it belonged, and that'll be the greatest evacuation day the world's ever had. What the nations of God's kingdom wish for the world is progress, light, truth, knowledge. They want it to replace cannibalism and evil, and it's going to take a long and extended area of instruction and understanding to bring to pass the transition which destiny has promised. It's going to take 1,000 years to finish it. So I want you to know that the program of the earth is not the breaking of the power of the kingdom. This is the world's strategy, but they're not going to be successful at it. Instead, my friends, of saying this is the last generation of white babies that are ever going to be born, as one of the chief rabbis in France said the other day, this is going to be one of the greatest clarion calls for racial self-respect, and one of the greatest calls to come back to God's law and to segregate yourselves and come out from among them and be separate that has ever gone forth from your nation. This nation is going to be, when they get through with this Negro upheaval and this new frontier, this is going to be the most segregated nation on the face of the earth. Now, whenever the enemy disobeys the instructions of God's kingdom and sits down, says this is a passive resistance strike, I'm not going to go along with it, all of the international do-gooders and brainwashed say, my, they're holy. They're like Gandhi. If they sit down in the middle of the street, why, that must be exceptionally holy in Birmingham. But what do you think will happen if all the Christians say, all right, we're just not going to go along with it? Why, they say that you were the most inhumane, non-progressive,
backward, superstitious people on the face of the earth. But you know, that's just exactly what we're going to do. We're not going to go along with it.
Now, I can tell you one thing. When all of the awakened sons and daughters of God, and they're getting a whole lot of people awakened now, and when the call goes out by taste and goes out by communication, that you start on a certain time, start catalyzing your thought and praying with faith and binding the power and actually call for the elimination of the opposition, and you'll be surprised what will happen in America. It'll be a conflict of forces such as they've never seen before. A person said to me, "Dr. Swift, how does one get out of the strain of the turmoil?" Well, I go into the temple once in a while. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the children of the living God. You are children of the Father. You are spiritual houses. The physical body is the place you dwell in. Your body is the temple of this Holy Spirit, which is you residing in it. That's why you were told that you couldn't join this with the temple of idols and with pagans. And Paul told the church this in Corinthians. But enshrined in the seat of your consciousness is all the background of spiritual remembrance out of the mind of the Spirit, which you have and can reach into if you seek it. Jesus said, "Seek and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And you, in the instances of these pressures, can draw into this inner consciousness and see the enthroned Christ, ruler of the universe, who you can say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Catch in that capacity of the mind and the spirit, the vision of the majestic glory of the eternal Father, of his dominant control over the universe, of his throne in the heavens, and seek it also in you. And you have a right to approach that throne and ask any petition for power. And there comes with it the realization that this throne's above all thrones, and this power is in you. And this glory is going to be dawning and developing more and more upon you as you draw with strength upon this factor. But there is a strength that descends upon you in the midst of turmoil as you move inside to catch again the view that your consciousness can erect out of the pattern of inspiration of the Father. And recognizing this, like Isaiah moving into the temple and beholding the Father high and lifted up, he's resident within. And also has he empowered you as his many sons to produce and carry out the greatest program that has ever been designed for the world, the design which his Creator made of his kingdom, which with righteousness, authority, and even with a rod of iron, if necessary, shall enforce divine law for the development of the earth. We turn in these declarations of the Spirit which the Apostle Paul has seen, and this is what he said. He said, if our gospel be hid, it be hid to these people that are lost. They're wandering around, they don't know where they're going, and if it be hid, it be hid to them. Now, more than this, he said, the God of this world blinds the minds of people, lest they believe this great glorious gospel of the embodiment of God's household and of Christ, the image of the invisible God, and lest this glory should shine unto them. For we are preaching Christ Jesus, the eternal Yahweh, and ourselves the servants of the eternal in his household. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined into your heart to give the light of the knowledge of this radiant glory and power which is on the face of God upon you and in you. And that's a pretty big step. Apostle Paul said, this is what it's all about. And it's going to be the manifestation and the identification, the illumination of the sons of God. You see, you're not going along in an area of inability. You're about to step into the greatest age of the development of your race that's ever known. And God's going to empower it for its demonstration. And we have learned our mistakes, and we're not going to duplicate the others in the ages to come. The great transition of God's kingdom is not going to be its mongrelization, its surrender. It's suddenly going to be set on fire like a living flame. And then it's going to move like a crusade under the command of the Eternal until that kingdom fills the heavens and earth. And Africa will be ruled over by the house of the Most High God, and so will Asia. And their idol temples are going to come tumbling down, and their witch doctor shacks are going to be consumed. Then you say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, that doesn't make any difference. You don't have to agree with it. Just watch it happen. Now, which would you rather see? A world ruled over by Christians serving the Father with kindness, with understanding, with firmness? What would you rather see? These people being educated in how to do things for themselves they never knew how to do? Or would you like to see a socialist order in which they were gold and you were the slaves?
What would you like to see? The standard of God's kingdom as it is, and the race of which you are a part with, to its divine origin and restored in all its glory? What would you rather see? The program of God, or would you like to see this program of the new frontier? Everybody integrated, everybody living under a program of Antichrist, everybody dies like they've been doing throughout the ages. Which sounds the best?
Well, if you still want to join Kennedy's team, I'm disappointed in you.
I think that about now, he'd like to get on another team if he knew how. He's trapped. I'm not so sure Bobby wouldn't have liked to change teams a week ago. He went down to talk to the heads of the organizations and to help implement their revolution, and they said, now listen, this is what we want. You don't even talk our language. Bobby came home a little bit disgruntled, said they don't think I talk their language.
You know, my friends, you cannot forsake your heritage and find any companionship. Not there. I just feel sorry for anybody that has to live with as many devils, as Jesus identified them, as the Kennedys live with in their cabinet and around them in Washington. Anybody has to live with this many devils and take their advice is truly under terrific pressure. And anybody that would elect anybody that would appoint these kind of people needs to also re-examine their political concept. Someone said to me, Dr. Swift, who are we going to select as to lead America next time? God's got a man. Don't you worry. We don't have to pick up any half-breed or any half-broken ambition. Someone said, well, this man's knocked himself out politically. This man's been instigatious. We don't need anybody that's failed. We've got too many people to work on that have never failed. Someone said, Dr. Swift, we just have to take the lesser of two evils. We don't have to take any evil from here on out. There is one thing you've got to learn. You are the majority in America, even though enough have been asleep to not exert it. But remember that you're going to have to demonstrate power on the right and in the causes of truth just as firm and just as inflexible as an enemy has moved into your midst and gotten away with it. And said, oh, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? If the devil can come in and walk through America, the sons of God can walk all over it too and on his head. So that God has given you a covenant. If there were you in the past that bruised your heel, you, the many sons, are going to step upon his head. There is no doubt that the mighty glory of God is going to be made manifest. And we're down here in a world where things are not as serene as they are in the spirit. The infighting is a little dirty. The enemy operates out of darkness. Some people say we don't like to have to meet him at his level, but you meet him with a higher order, with a greater power. This is not the end, this is the beginning.